Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
All right, welcome to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt right here in the Casabella Design Group studios, and as always, I am joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with. The Emmy Award-winning O.J. McDuffie. Shine those brights, man. Let me see that thing. There it is. Wait a minute. Where? What? Your Emmy is partying.
Party time, Big Seth.
Yeah, I like it.
Disco time, baby.
Disco time.
You know what I mean? I thought Savak would have his, you know, his disco glasses on. He took them off earlier, man. Like, you know what I mean? You know, that thing's so bright, man. I thought he'd need to wear glasses, Big Seth. You know how it rolls, man.
Too good. Too good. Well, Juice, I hope you're feeling okay. We do not have Chad Van Horn.
Right.
We do not have Perk, but that's okay because we do have the legendary Savak, Emmy adjacent producer, rocking his Fish Tank t-shirt. It looks good, man.
It's official.
Looking official. Good. Looking
appreciate
good.
You. Love this thing.
Yeah,
you
know, hey, we appreciate you.
You know, Big Seth, you know, Chad, it's amazing. He reminds me of those players, you know what I mean, that run to the podium when they win a game.
Right.
And then when their team loses a game, you know, they go out the back door.
Can't find them.
You know, all that, you know, remember that Pittsburgh bling and jerseys and shit he was wearing? You know, all that special talk he was talking about, them being in the playoffs.
One and done.
Now that they're in the Bahamas like we are, right, we can't find him.
Is it the Bahamas? Is it Cancun? It seems like Cancun is
well, yeah, nowadays with these guys, I mean, who knows where Turks and Caicos, who knows where the hell
that's
these
right.
dudes go. Our budget was Bahama budget. Their budget's a little different than ours is. You know,
their budget's a lot. It's certainly a lot different than mine.
You have some people that might let you ride with them, though, Big Seth.
Yeah, I definitely have had a sat shotgun a few times for some good ones. So, I mean, it's an interesting time right now for our Miami Dolphins. There's some great football. Savak, Andrew Crowell says you look great in that shirt. Well, good. He didn't give you great yet, but maybe by the end of the night, it'll be great.
Represent.
Saw some good football this weekend. We may or may not talk about it, but it's not the Miami Dolphins, so I don't know how much we care. But the coaching search is on. It's in full effect. We got through the general manager piece. We've come to find out that Troy Aikman must have done a good enough job at the general manager as a consultant and finding the general manager that he's now staying on board along with Dan Marino, along with Tom Garfinkel, along with Brandon Shore. And I guess now, right, John Eric Sullivan, I would hope, is going to be a part of the process and evaluating who the head coach should be. Maybe he should even be leading it, given his title of general manager.
Right.
We'll look at the Bimini budget. Sam in the house with the Bimini budget. I love it. Too good. Bimini's, you know.
How many times you been across the pond, Seth, with that, on that yacht, on JT's 99-foot yacht?
I never did Bimini. But I in the old days, I definitely got my my sea legs on the yacht. It was not the worst thing in the world. The 99-footer. Terry Alexander wants to know, Juice, are you going to be the new head coach?
Yeah, the head coach of my wiffle ball blast team.
That's right. And that team's not complete. You're taking your sweet time.
Oh, no, it's I'm going to tell you, before we get into all the important stuff, man, which this is very important.
Right.
You know, my guys are resting on their laurels, Big Seth. You know, we've got some championships. They've got some rings and trophies at home, and they're trying to, like, stay that way, man. It's like they don't want to come out there and compete, man. And if dudes don't want to compete, Seth, I don't want them on my fucking
team.
You
want them on your squad.
I don't want them on my squad, man.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? That's how I feel, bro.
So I need to share this story. It's a story that I talk about a lot with Juice. But when we start talking about competitors, we might need to get Sam on here live with us soon to sing this verse right here. Bob Jovi. Where's our guy, Bobby? And anyway, so in the old days, what was it? Tuesday nights? What night was bowling?
Wednesday night, Saturday morning.
Wednesday, but this was Wednesday night. And Juice would take up, I don't know, your crew was like 10 lanes at least. And
For bowling.
You're talking about the ball up. Bowling was Tuesday night, right?
Tore up Tuesdays.
And so everybody would be out there, and you and Kajana, and you guys would time your, you know, everyone would throw the first ball at the same time. And you're a very competitive bowler. If you follow this show, you have heard that not only did OJ McDuffie lead the league in receptions, he also has bowled a perfect game. I don't know how many guys can say that they've done that. Can we put the wiffle ball trophy in the Dolphins locker room so they can? Wow. Sam swinging from the fences there. And OJ got really competitive, Savak. He got really competitive. And his mom, who, you know, OJ and mom, they were not only an amazing mother and son team, but they were the best of friends. And mom was like, OJ, like, why are you, don't get so competitive. We're just out here having fun. You know, it just said, and Juice stopped in the middle of the game and lost his damn mind. Everything's about competition, mom. Every effing thing's about competition. Who's got the best girl? Who's got the best shoes? Who's got the best car? Everything. You play to win. If you ain't playing to win, get your ass out of here. And he just, and like the whole bowling alley got quiet. And everybody learned. Like, if you're out there, it ain't like you were having fun.
Right.
But the only way we're really having fun is if we're playing to win. Yeah, so
if you're competing, man. You know, and my mom, she honestly, you know, my mom, like you talked about, Big Seth, she kept stats for all the bowling. We weren't in a league. We were in our own league, a league of our own. You know what I mean?
There it is.
And she kept all the stats. I've got the binders. We got binders of Tuesday night.
I need to see the stats.
Yeah, tore up bowling. So at the end of the year, we'd have an award ceremony, you know? You know, there's, when we gave out trophies, it's like it was like, you know, the honors program for us. So you got, you know, High Game had a trophy. High Women's Game had a trophy. High Average had a trophy. And then kind of like, you know, we go on a three-point system with us. Three-point system for us is how many wins do you have? So you go out there on a Tuesday night, it's a three-point system. How many wins do you get? Do you have the High Game? And then after that, we go High Average for the day. You know what I mean? So you could run out of there with 3 points if you balling, you know? So, hell, I was always trying to get at least 3 points, man, at least. So my mom kept all those stats. We had, you know, an award ceremony at the end. And somewhere in storage, I got a few bowling trophies, man, that I would have never gotten because I ain't never been in a league.
But look it up. The perfect game. It's a real thing. And well, can we talk about the 299s? We won't do that. So Luis Diaz says, Juice.
Oh, look at that's fucked up, Big Seth. Go ahead. Talk about him, man.
Well, talk Luis about my Diaz choke says, job, man. If your mom kept stats, how does she not expect you to
exactly.
compete?
Exactly. She raised me to compete, and then she won't talk that shit.
Right. There it is. So speaking of competing, the Miami Dolphins are in a full-blown competition for coaches. It is fascinating, one of my favorite words, to watch the carousel of these coaching interviews. And so they've conducted a few interviews. Who are you? You just gave them to me, the three that they've conducted so far. Kubiak, right? Correct. Guys who are still coaching.
Correct.
Real quick, Juice, Sam wants to know which teammate was the best bowler. You were the best bowler, but which teammate was second best?
Let's see. Lamar Thomas is pretty good. Terry Kirby is probably the next best.
TK is good at, like, everything.
Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete, man. You ever seen him out there? He, like, hunts hogs and shit, man. He does all kinds of crazy.
No, I haven't seen the hog hunting.
Yeah, he's a wild boy. But, yeah, he's a hell of an athlete, man. We saw him on the basketball court. Obviously saw him in football. But, yeah, that's probably – TK is probably, you know,
Terry Kirby.
Second best, about 30 pins behind me.
About 30 pins. So, okay, back to the coaching live stream. It. I love it. Back to the coaching carousel here. So Kubiak, who else? Stefanski? Did they have?
Stefanski and Halfley, yeah.
And Halfley, okay. So two guys who are currently available and one who still has a game to coach. So we've got that going on. The Harbaugh situation is still an active situation. Then the big shocker that sent Chad Van Horn into a complete cave somewhere is Mike Tomlin steps down after 19 years, never having a losing season. Yeah. He steps down. The word on the streets are he's taking a year off. He's not messing with it. And it's so funny to watch the rumor circuit because sometimes you're hearing that, you know, he wants warm weather. The Dolphins are in play. Then you hear the Dolphins aren't in play, even if he likes warm weather. Then you hear he's just not going to work. Right. So, okay, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. But don't smash the like button twice. No double dipping. No double dipping, Lewis. Lewis is on a cruise. He's cruising right now.
Okay,
Yeah, he says
he found some good Wi-Fi somewhere on the cruise. He needs to take Perk with him next time, man.
Yeah.
I was just about to say he sprang for the Wi-Fi. Yeah.
And Perk is not available. Speaking of Perk, how about the fact that Perk is not here with us tonight? Sam, are you ready for this? His condo association has a big meeting tonight. And so he is not here because of the condo association meeting. I'm wondering if he brought Chad as his representative.
That's why they both aren't here.
I think that's why Chad's not here. He said, look, I'm reading this. I'm not making this up. Going to be a big one tonight. Voting whether to reduce insurance. There's controversy over the amount and the premium. Retain a condo attorney. Maybe he's trying to slip Chad Van Horn in there.
Right.
Retain condo manager and get an update on an ongoing construction project.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, my God.
Van Horn couldn't handle the level of shit.
Yeah, he was going to get it tonight. He was going to get it tonight. Like I said, he slipped out the back door tonight.
And, Terry, you are correct. So because Mike Tomlin was not fired, he stepped down, that he is still under contract. So he can't be setting up meetings, even if, you know, there was interest there. In theory, he can't be. And he certainly just can't go get a job. There's going to have to be consequences and repercussions.
They've got him until 2027, Big Seth. So
that's right.
That's how long he's under contract with them.
Perk was the reason for the Verizon outage today. God, it's so good. It's so good. Andrew, you better give Chad crap. In fact, we're going to make sure he gets the full transcript of all of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to have, instead of the legal segment of the whole thing, we're going to trash Chad.
Chad Van Horn gets trashed. Anyway, so that's the deal. Back to these coaches. Right before that. So Mike McDaniel now is on his own tour. So he's interviewing for jobs. We've got a situation where the Browns fire their head coach. He's interviewing for a job in Miami. We fire our head coach. He's interviewing. I mean, this reminds me of the old MTV Real World, the way these switching here from room to room. That's an interesting dynamic.
It's like a soap opera, man.
It's a soap opera.
They start dating each other, and then it's like, you know.
I mean, it's literally what's happening.
Yeah. Everybody's dating everybody.
That's right. And Mike McDaniel was in Detroit, right? I think we saw that he was at the airport in Detroit, and he was interviewing for that deal. Yeah, yeah. That good call.
Smart call, Lewis. You're right.
Don't shit on.
We won't clip that shit. We won't clip that and send it to him. We're just going.
Well, Alvaro is smart enough. I'm in the Casabell Design Group studios, but he doesn't come in here and pissing on Miami Dolphins fans for episodes at a time. So true. I think
popping bottles and shit. You know what I mean? With pink tiles and jerseys going on. He's been shitting on us for a month now.
He has been. McDaniel interviews via text. Too good. Yeah. So you put out a tweet, was it yesterday?
And yes,
you
asked yesterday.
Rank your top three coaching candidates. And Dolphins Twitter lost their mind with it. And I thought it was really interesting. And so I'm going to ask, even for those folks here in the chat, go ahead and drop who your top three candidates are. Because I got the sense that we were all over the board. We had the people that only wanted the big names. We had the people that only wanted coaches with experience. I know we hear that a lot, and I'm going to address that later today as well. But this idea that we've gone coach after coach after coach that were first-timers, and so now I think everyone wants to try. Let's get somebody that actually has been a head coach before. Right. Which, again, you fire a guy. So Mike McDaniel was a first-time head coach. Now somebody else brings him. Now he's an experienced head coach. Right. So that, Robert Saleh, like, that was an absolute disaster with the Jets, but now he's an experienced head coach. Let's give him a shot. So that is interesting. And then you have people that don't want that under any circumstance. Then you want people who want fresh faces. So it really is all over the board. Right. Sam, I would have shared if we were all in the same studio.
Sam, boy, do we remember that. Sure.
I mean, I was a guest on your show. You guys didn't get me any food, so I had to bring my own.
Makes sense.
That's it. So, Savak, I'm going to throw it at you. What's a run? I'm going to throw it at you, Savak, because I didn't see you in OJ's mentions there. Mm-hmm. Who are your top three candidates for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, yeah, I have to say I'd love Harbaugh, although I would be a little bit concerned about how long we would have him for,
mm-hmm.
With him being a little bit more seasoned, let's say. I wouldn't mind, actually, this one might surprise folks a little bit. I wouldn't mind Mike McCarthy. Honestly, I think he's better than he gets credit for.
Agreed.
And finally, I'd take Stefanski.
Okay.
Give me Stefanski all day.
Tell me about why Stefanski. I because it was a miserable finish in Cleveland.
It was, and I think that right there is the part you have to underline. He was in Cleveland, and okay. He managed to be a two-time NFL Coach of the Year despite their dysfunction. You know, I get it. The first year, we won't even count that one because he did. He had a stacked roster, but that second award that he won, he did so with a revolving door at quarterback and finally had to finish the season with the ghost of Joe Flacco. Now, he played really well, but let's make no mistake. It's not like anybody's lining up to take him now.
Right.
So that's why I'd love to see what he could do with a more stable organization.
Yeah, that's a good group right there. That's a
and
good
so group. We're stability. We are the picture of stability is what you're saying
compared to
me?
Compared to Cleveland, yeah.
I mean, Cleveland whooped our ass.
The AFC North whooped our ass, Big Seth.
Yeah.
We
lost every team in the AFC North this past year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm like the Cleveland one was a shocker. Even Cincinnati, even though they had their stud offensive guys there, come on, man, they still stunk coming in here.
And that was in our backyard.
Right in our
backyard,
in
our house,
man.
The nasty natty. And they came in here and embarrassed us.
Pittsburgh wasn't that good, but of course we knew there was going to be complications on Monday night, cold weather and all that shit. And the Ravens game, hell, if we didn't turn it over and miss a field goal and all that stuff, I mean, the score doesn't indicate how bad, how good the game was. And they came down and whooped our ass too. So.
Sam, not disappointed. There are a lot of people whooped our ass. Like I said, there were five games where we lost by 22 points or more, which
we got to remember, though, that was the previous regime. Those were Chris Greer's Dolphins. We're talking about the John Eric Sullivan Dolphins.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. So now stability is here and here to stay.
Yes, indeed.
All right. I like it. I like it. Juice, do you have a top three yet?
I've had one. Seth, we talk about Harbaugh, and I know Savak was talking about how, Pete Carroll just got fired. He's 20,000 years old. You know what I mean?
Is he that old now?
Yeah, he's that old. He's that old. Yeah, look it up. It's Wikipedia. Yeah, he's there. He's there. It's just amazing. He's got something going on out there out west that keeps him going, But I think no matter what, I mean, the shelf life for most coaches really is, you know, 5 to 10 years, hopefully, if they can get that far. So, I mean, I think we can get John Harbaugh to 5 to 10 years. And, you know, I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. I think he's another guy that, you know, that could give us another decade of solid football. And then, you know, I'm the same way a lot of other people are. I'm done with this first year, guys. I'm done with the first year, guys. I get it. It's fun. It's cute and shit. You know, it lasts for a little while. And there's some guys that have proved me wrong. The Ben Johnsons and the, you know, the Liam Cohens. And those guys have done well. But for the most part, I want some seasoned guys. Like Savak has talked about. I want some seasoned guys that have been there, done that. But more importantly, I want some guys that we know have commanded locker rooms.
Right.
Because this locker room has gotten to a point, in my opinion, where you know, it's out of control, man. And the you know, the inmates are running the asylum, it seems like, over that. You know, it's been that way. And Mike, this is not a knock on Mike. He's you know, he's got some guys on his team that have, you know, taken advantage of the situation, in my opinion. And they've gotten
either
away
you're
with
coaching it or allowing it to happen, Juice.
And remember, Seth, I told you this. You guys know. You know for a fact, Seth, that I do not like this man. If I saw him in the alley, I'd beat the shit out of him. No, I wouldn't, because just in case it happens, I don't want to be the first.
Be elderly abused at this point, Juice.
Well, I mean, I'm elderly too, ain't I?
Yeah, but not in comparison to him.
Okay, yeah. But I said we need a Jimmy Johnson type guy to be in that locker room, because Jimmy – He ruled with intimidation. He walked through that locker room with a scowl on his face, and even the most seasoned vets, Savak, would tighten up. You know what I mean? They'd stop cracking jokes. They'd stop laughing and shit as he walked all the way through the gauntlet. You know, so I think that's what needs to happen. And honestly, a new guy can come in there and set a new narrative, Big Seth, in that locker room compared to what it's been like before. And it has to start with day one. Now, Mike came in as a buddy-buddy with everybody right away, and it's hard. I talk about this all the time about when you got a kindergarten teacher, the kindergarten teacher wants to be tough at first, and then later in the year, she can lighten up a little bit. She can't be light at first and then all of a sudden wants to toughen up on these kids that she let, you know, put crayons on the wall, you know, chatter during, you know, during quiet time, you know, and nap time and shit. You can't tighten up, and you got to tighten up at the beginning, and then you can loosen up as it goes along, man.
Start so give me somebody else. Down, right?
So I'm saying, so Harbaugh, Tomlin, and then, you know, number three is question mark to me. It don't matter after that.
So that's it. That's it. Now you picked the two longest shots, right? Because I mean, Tomlin might not even be coaching. So that tells me that it's kind of Harbaugh or bust for you.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Tomlin. Look, how many draft picks we give up for Shula, man? Fuck it, man. Sometimes you got to give up something to get something, you know?
That's fair.
We know Tomlin's under contract till 2027, but hell, man, I'll give up a couple draft picks if we have to get that stability and then move on from there. So, yeah, they're two long shots, absolutely. But hell, they both, like, who wouldn't want to come to South Florida? I don't care what's going on in the locker room. They can figure all that out when they get here.
Vic Fangio.
And on top of that, Big Seth, I don't think there will be a short a leash on guys like that, because I think ownership would give those guys a little bit more of an opportunity to right the ship in there.
I think they'd have to demand it, right? I mean, that would be a requirement. So it'll be really interesting. And I just wonder what Ross is looking for. That dude's an absolute leader of men, according to former players. Rizzy. Yeah, you know.
Rizzy. I love Baron. He lives down here still. His family's down here. So
family's
be
down
great.
Here. Incredibly popular. Had a stint as an interim in New Orleans. Looked a little bit like an interim head coach. I mean, there were some things that and it was interesting because I correct me if I'm wrong, but when Dan Campbell became the interim head coach here, I think it was Rizzy that was really kind of helping him with some of the detail stuff, because he was assistant head coach. But once you become that head man, there is a lot to manage. There's a lot to manage there. So I know.
And also Big Seth, I mean, Darren, he's obviously had opportunities for head coaching jobs since he's left here and doesn't have one either. So what's going on there? You know, I mean, I know he's probably looked at some of those positions or had some interviews. So,
yeah,
I mean, he hasn't been selected by other, you know, organizations either, you know, and that's no slight to Darren, but I'm wondering why that hasn't happened either, though.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. It's interesting to see who's getting recycled after, you know, after really kind of tenuous experiences the first to go around, one of which, like we just talked about, Mike McDaniel. What about Anthony Campanelli? We saw the Dolphins have requested to speak with him. He was here. He's a Hard Knocks legend. That clip is played, you know, right? Ass kicking the universal language. And one of the great speeches of all time. Got passed over to be the defensive coordinator here for Anthony Weaver. Clearly was not happy with that. Said, I'm out of here. And after a year, he got a DC position and had a hell of a run in Jacksonville. So strike while the iron is hot. Yeah. I saw his name pop up a little bit here. Okay, I like Rizzi too because the special teams coordinator is head coach. And he's finally got a guy who can coach the whole team.
Right.
That's an interesting – and that's what Harbaugh, right? Harbaugh was a
special teams guy. Yep.
Yep. Lewis also said that he'll go with you to jump Jimmy's ass down in the Keys. So
I got to jump him, Lewis. What are you saying about me, bro? You know what I mean? Give me a 1v1, man. I'm good with a 1v1, man. Just be there.
Just make sure nobody else nobody else jumps in. Keep it a 1v1. So you don't want anybody else jumping in. Aikman might jump in on Jimmy's side while he's down here.
Yeah, you know, he's old too, though. I'll take his ass too.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he does work out all the time,
he's got a concussion. Videos,
he's pretty jacked still.
I mean, he looks like he's in great shape, but he's got a concussion issue. So,
Well, you know what? The thing about it is, Seth, there's no such thing as a fair one. So, you know what I mean? There's no such thing as a fair fight. So, if Aikman were to get in, man, I'd bite the shit out of him. You know what I mean? That's what I do. I'm a biter.
Too good. So, but what do you think realistically is going to happen here? I mean, look at the names that are coming up here. Yeah. I worked at like 20 years ago with the late, great Calvin Jackson.
That's my man, right?
Man,
there.
We love some Calvin Jackson. Yeah. What a great man.
Everybody, if you got a chance, guys, on here tonight, check out the podcast we did with Calvin, man. It was great. And listening to some of the reasonings and the things that he went through and why he came back to Miami, that stuff was absolutely gold, man. I mean, we always talk about on our podcast, Big Seth, about how sometimes the bigger names are not as good an interview as some of the lesser names.
Yeah,
Calvin's one of those kind of quote unquote lesser names that really brought us some good stuff to talk about, man. It was a lot of fun. But I love it. Yeah. But you know, here's the thing about it though, Seth. What they're talking about there is, you know me, every time I go out, man, I want to make sure that every time I'm out and about, you know, it's my mom's fault too with this, that I want to make sure that, you know, I for one, I represent myself and my family well, but at the same time though, man, people like that, you know, you say you worked at a bar for 20 years, man, they bust their ass for us out there, you know, and all these people that have been, that skimp them out or the people that don't want to tip or do things like that, you know, don't go out. You know, just don't go out. If you can't be those people,
well, I stay home.
Just don't go out. Stay home, man. You know, and I appreciate the fact that it was recognized that I was trying to at least, you know, be the best customer I could be when I'm out and about. I'm always going to be that for sure.
There's no question. No question about it. Have we secured Hurricanes tickets for Monday?
That's a tough ticket. Yes, we have. Big
Did you?
Set.
You
got to
figure it out.
One. I got my couch is calling me. Yeah, I got a great ticket, front row. You know what I mean? I got
direct
front row. I got free alcohol and free food, you know, that because I didn't go out and buy anything extra. So it's already been here. So that means it's going to be free to me.
That's right.
You know? So, yeah, good to go.
Too good. Yeah, that's a tough ticket there. I talked to the boss, the boss lady, and she said, we get 10 tickets and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start seeing the wives of the coaches put out there on Instagram, we don't have any extra tickets.
Right.
That tells you exactly where it is. Look at the description of how. So this is how you're going to take Aikman down. So you're going to jump Jimmy Johnson
right
with Lewis, and then Sam's going to distract Troy Aikman with girls in bikinis.
Here we go.
Take a shot.
There we go.
All right, Mike. As much as you want a Dolphins experienced head coach, you have a feeling it'll be Kubiak or Havley or a first timer head coach. I think you could be right there, and I'm going to address in my. I tried to tell y'all. I think I've shifted gears of where I'm at as well with that. So,
okay.
What do you think about the fact that Troy Aikman was retained for this search as well? What does it say about maybe what his involvement was in the general manager piece? Because we don't know. We just knew he was going to be involved. We don't know. We heard a lot of different reports. And do you think there's a world where his involvement with the Miami Dolphins extends even beyond the coaching
Yeah,
search?
You know, it seems like they really enjoy working with him, Big Seth. And I think they like how the process played out. And I think we all are happy with the way the process played out. You know, I don't know about, you know, was it John Eric Sullivan or Eric John Sullivan, whatever
John
the
Eric,
hyphen
yeah.
is. Yeah, whatever the hell it is. You know, I'm cool with Mr. Sullivan's what I call him when I see him in the hallways.
There you go.
You know, you can't deny that one, right? I just think that, you know, I think that the process itself, it actually worked for this team this time.
Yeah.
You know? And from what I'm understanding and reading about him and from everybody else, it's like, yeah, they hit a home run with this guy. And if you look at the Green Bay Packer, you know, their history, I mean, it hit on three quarterbacks in a row pretty much, even though, you know, I think, you know, Jordan Love kind of wet the bed recently, but I think that he looks like he's a future stud. And I think anybody that's had that type of success with the draft and that type of success with a roster, I mean, that's what we're looking for right there. And the history is there. His resume is there. And so if they're going to bring Troy Aikman on now for a head coaching position, they must have loved the way the process went and how he handled his business when they were all in the rooms and when they were all talking to maybe the questions he was asking, you know, maybe the feedback afterwards after every candidate left. I think that something about them was intriguing about Troy. And I think he and Danny probably, you know, being Hall of Fame quarterbacks, probably worked really well together. And I think they want to make sure that combination continues on. And probably, you know, GM position obviously is very important, but the most important thing now is who we get as a head man. And yeah, I think that's what works for them.
Yeah, and I like that there were football guys making decisions on football guys,
right.
You know, and that's no disrespect to others, but, you know, Troy Aikman and Dan Marino, you would hope have some context for when they really start talking shop and asking questions about process and what they're looking for in players. And, you know, I just feel like there's going to be a different level of understanding. And now John Eric Sullivan gets to jump to the other side of the desk and you've got three career football guys. And Juice, you have to like the fact that John Eric Sullivan's dad was a wide receivers coach. That's got to count for something.
Yeah. I mean, now we can get all those 11 receivers on the field, Big Seth. You know what I mean? We've been talking about this for a long time, man. About damn time we got somebody that, you know, knows that you put 11 receivers on offense, you know, put six of them on defense because we don't want to tackle nobody. You know what I mean? And that's how you win football games, man. So, yeah, it's a perfect situation for us right there.
Well, when you see Mr. Sullivan, who himself was a DB, you can see how that goes.
Yeah, over. I'd cut him. I would have cut him.
Jeff Avley looks like every actor casted as a Midwestern dad from the period piece in the 1950s who loves his kids but doesn't know how to tell them until the very end of the movie. Maybe that's what we need, right? Everybody felt loved here under Mike McDaniel. And then I think that they, you know, who was it? Ryan Clark used the analogy of the weekend parent, you know, that you've got separated parents and they're sharing custody and you've got the dad that only gets his kids on the weekends or maybe two weekends a month. And so when he has his kids, he tries to make up for that lost time with all the ice cream, staying up late, playing video games and, you know, never getting in trouble, eating candy all day. And he said that's kind of how Mike McDaniel was running the locker room. So I thought that was an interesting analogy.
Yeah. And you know what? And then you get yelled at on Monday after you lose the game. You know what I mean? You get yelled at on Monday by the media, the fans, because you lose the game because, you know, you let the kids. That's how I was when I was taking my kid back to his mom after he spent the night up all night hanging out, kicking it, partying at 2-3 years old.
So you were that dad. You were the Mike McDaniel dad.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Cam loved me for that.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that he didn't betray you in the way that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey and some of these other guys did. How do I sign up for that weekend dad gig? Save that question, Sam, for Chad next week when he gets back in here. So speaking of Mike McDaniel, speaking of the process, there was something interesting that came, you know, we saw the clips on Twitter, I guess it was on a podcast. So Dan Soder, right, the comedian who grew up with Mike McDaniel, like they were best buds growing up in Greeley, Colorado, or whatever it was. He was a little bent out of shape that his buddy lost his job. We're going to play the clip. I want to play the clip here, and I want to talk about what we saw here.
Watching McDaniel go through this as like a head coach.
Yeah.
It's like been my buddy since seventh grade.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it's like awesome. He's an NFL coach.
That's incredible.
And he worked his way up to a head coach.
But he'll get a gig, right? Somewhere else?
Absolutely. In fact, I think he's better off because I think, and listen to me right now, I think it's a shit organization.
Damn.
I think it's ran by an old fuck that stabbed Mike in the back after he told him he was going to be all right for another season. And fuck the Dolphins. And honestly, fuck Miami as a comedy town. When having a friend that's an NFL coach, you notice, you listen more when people talk about your friend.
Uh-huh.
And Troy Aikman shits on McDaniel in a way that I'm like, He doesn't like Mike.
Whoa.
And me and my friend Chad, who grew up with Mike, were like, Chad was the first one. I was like, I bet Aikman had something to do with it. And then I was just like, fuck Troy Aikman. Looking like white Jay-Z. Quarterback that was falling off. Tua stinks. But people, listen, I think McDaniel got fired because he tied himself to Tua and they lost. That's a sign of my friend being loyal. So, like, as a friend, I go, fuck yeah, he stuck with him. And I hope the next team he goes to, the quarterback goes, well, this guy stuck with him, so I believe in him.
Yeah.
So I'll fucking play for it. I just hope McDaniel goes and wins 10 Lombardi trophies and then shoves them up the owner of the Dolphins' asshole one at a time. And I hope the Dolphins never win another game.
Woo!
You're stupid. Damn. Your old logo's better. Your new logo looks like a penis jumping through a Nuva ring.
Hey.
Your fans don't know ball. Uh-huh. A couple of them at the stadium. It was like crazy watching them not know when to cheer on third down.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck them. Whole organization.
So, there's a lot to unpack there, fellas. I want to start with, and actually Lewis just dropped it. I was going to ask both Lewis, you know, this is your backyard, and Sam, who live in the comedy space, right, what you thought about him saying, fuck Miami as a comedy town. Lewis said, lost me when he shit on Miami as a comedy town. Sorry you can't sell tickets.
Right, exactly.
Here.
I was going to say the same thing. Exactly right. Just because you can't, because nobody's looking at your clips and say, yo, I want to go see you perform. And Lewis and Sam, we all know, man, it's hard as hell to make people laugh. It's a tough-ass gig right there. But don't shit on us for that, right?
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. You know, so I wonder who hurt his feelings when he was down here. You know, cool that he's sticking up for his boy. That's great. You know, that's how I would want Juice. I don't want you going after JT. But if Harvey had fired me and you went after Harvey like that, you know, thank you. Right. Appreciate you having my back in that regard. Right. So totally respect that.
Yeah.
But he says that he stabbed Mike in the back after telling him that he was okay. So that to me, I thought was interesting, right? Because like, did they have that conversation? Was that his interpretation? Were he and Mike, like, do they still talk regularly? Was he on the can't sell tickets on the weekend, sold out the improv on a Wednesday twice? Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not once, twice.
Twice.
Yep. Let's go.
Three times a lady.
I thought that was interesting of like, and everybody said, going back to benching Tua, that Mike McDaniel was carrying himself like a man who was not concerned about his job, who had felt that he was comfortable. But he also told us countless times that it's right, it's one day at a time, and that, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and you know, it would all of those words that he utilized. So I you know, was it a shock? Was he told one thing? Did things change when John Harbaugh became available? Did things change when you started to sit in and the GM candidates that you really liked basically said, I don't think that you've got the best guy for the job in the position? So I think all of that is interesting. I know a lot of people keep talking about this whole thing of let's start over and let's make sure we're aligned. I think that gets overplayed to some extent. I mean, you don't want to force a coach on somebody. But I think minus the whole fuck Miami entirely as a city, can't say I never said any of those things myself.
Yeah.
So
whatever ring he's talking about. But Big Seth, you know, first and foremost, Mike tethered himself to Tua coming here.
Right.
That's how he got the gig in the first place. They were trying to justify a fifth overall pick. You know, and Mike said he could make Tua, make him get the best out of Tua. And he did that for a spell. So, you know, and he said that. He said he tethered himself to Tua. But when Tua was shit, you know, Gurr had to go. Tua got benched. And then Mike had to go. That's part of business.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's part of the business right there. And for him to shit on the fans. I don't know how many games he's been to in our stadium, but the majority of the fucking fans are somebody from somewhere else. They're from the other team. So he for him to shit on our fans, the ones that are there are the most loyal fans, and they definitely know ball.
And if he was sitting in the head coach's suite, right? I mean, you don't always have the most sophisticated sports football fans in those seats.
Right.
They'll sit out in the 300s, and I bet you everybody knows.
You damn right they know ball, when to cheer. And he's the one that sounds like he doesn't know ball to me. You know, that's one thing that I'm hearing from him. And, you know, and he wants our owner to win. You know, he wants Mike to win 10 championships.
10 championships.
I mean, I hope our owner makes it 10 to 15 more years. You know, I mean, Mr. Ross is, what, 90 years old now? Something like, you know, he's up there. So if he can live that long to see Mike win 10, then we'll all be like, damn, we made a mistake. But I don't obviously see that happening. So I get a best buddy like you're talking about, Big Seth.
Yeah.
You know, coming to his boy's defense, talking that shit. You know, Mike had his chances here. He had longer tenure than most coaches here when you think about it. How many guys had interim for a few weeks, 1 year, less than, you know, it happens all the time, man. Why is he not talking about the fact that Mike's about to walk out with $19 million in his pocket? You know what I mean? Going to have an opportunity to go somewhere else and make some more money. You know, Mike got his shot at being a head coach. And I think that Mike will be a good head coach eventually because Mike's a young dude still. But sometimes you need to fall before you become that guy. And once Mike learns it from his experience here, hopefully not like a Bill Belichick. But those things happen with head coaches, man. But don't shit on my city, man. This is my city now, bro. You know what I mean? And don't talk about my football team and don't talk about our comedy circuit because we know what good comedy is. And this obviously wasn't very good comedy, Big Seth.
Well, there you go. Savak, any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I was trying not to have an expletive-laden rant, but, you know, mostly just fuck him very much because, you know, all of that is fine. It's fine to have those sort of criticisms and, you know, you can have your opinion all the way up until he started shitting on the fans. It's like, brother, come on now.
Right.
I understand.
And he's a new Dolphin. You know what I mean? Yeah, you just started when Mike got here. Don't act like you know what Dolphins are about, bro. You know what I mean, right?
Uh-huh. See, because I'm with you. It's like, look, I understand you're getting your boys back. That's all well and good, but it's a business. You know, this is how it goes. I've seen coaches get done way dirtier than that. Just like you said, he's walking out with a pocket full of money. I don't think Mike McDaniel is all that upset.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I mean, obviously this was a dream job for him. So I'm sure that.
Right. And Big Seth, also, let's not forget, you know, last year, Mike and Chris's job was secure right after the final loss or final game we played. Right?
Yep.
We didn't have that statement right there. So the part that he talks about that he stabbed him in the back, I don't know if that was the case. Now, Mike came out on Monday acting like everything was good after that last loss, you know. So I don't know what was said right there, but me, you, and Travis, we talked about, I think there's still something out there that we don't know because, you know, he didn't come out and say Mike's job is good, it's secure. You know what I mean? He didn't have the statement out there. And so, and then there still was Black Monday, and then there's all kinds of other things out there for him. And it made sense for our owner not to say anything until – all that stuff settled, you know what I mean? And maybe Harbaugh was the final straw, you know? I mean, I just think that, you know, for him to sit there and say that, and if he said that, did Mike tell him that? Did Mike say that?
That's what I'm asking.
In the back?
That's what I'm saying. That was the point that I was making.
Right.
Like, was that his interpretation, or was that a conversation he had with his friend?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, if it is, his boys need to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? You know, we got one that say, yo, it always happens like, yo, keep this between me and you. But, you know, he told me my job was safe. And then all of a sudden his boys got this audience, a small audience, obviously, but he's got an audience that, you know, where he spouts about what's going on with our squad.
Yeah, I just thought that it was a little too much for him to start coming at the fans, especially considering a lot of the fan base wanted to keep Mike.
Yeah.
You know,
some of them did.
I don't know.
I'm not saying everybody.
His approval rating was down this year, Savak. You know what I mean?
Which fans? Was it the fans that wanted to keep him? Were they the ones that didn't know when to stand up on third down? Or were they? Maybe. So that's why I want to know which one.
Look, you guys made a video having, you know, where you did an argument both in favor of keeping him and in favor of moving on from him.
Sure.
That's my only point. There was an argument to be made.
Yeah. Right.
Understood. Yeah, understood. Man, we're flying here. I guess maybe Perk was just talking too much, you know, and so that's how we're
Yeah, we were too worried about. Well, we kept waiting hours and hours for his fucking Wi-Fi to come back. That's all. That was the delay that happened most of the time with Perk, man. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Terry.
Look, and we talked about this, and Svok, you said it right, man. We did do the, you know, keep him, let him go scenario before, and we're both. I think we all are big Mike McDaniel fans. I think we all are, man, and we do wish him the best. And I think that no matter what, it just when he was tethered to Tua and Tua didn't work out, and then, you know, you have a couple of losing seasons, you know, it becomes an issue. And for the comedian, what's his name again?
Soder, Daniel Soder. He does Soder. A great Macho Man Savage impersonation, by the way.
Is it better than yours, Seth?
Yeah. Like, okay. It's really good. Okay. It's really good.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Whatever. but I see it. Yeah, now I lost my train of thought. But for him to, like, you know, talk about the fact that, you know, Mike is, you know, the coach that he thinks he is. I don't know how much this guy's been involved in seeing how the team has gone from where they were to where they're at, and, you know, probably to where they're headed, man. So I don't know, man. Mike is a great guy. He really is. And we've said that over and over and over again. And I'm going to tell you this too. Mike is going to latch on somewhere. Mike's going to be in the league for the next 30 years. He's going to be in the league for the next 30 years doing something. Sure. You know, it's just going to be the right fit, right place. But Mike's just going, he's going to be fine. And, you know, and I've never seen, have you seen any teams that circle back to a head coach? I mean, is there any history of that?
That's a great question.
I don't think there is.
Well, my God, I'm drawing a blank. Joe Gibbs. But that wasn't right. But that was, he retired. And yeah, because didn't he? He had two stints
football team
with Washington. Yep. Okay. Two stints in Washington. That's the only one I could think of. But I can't imagine a team that fired a head coach and then brought him back.
Right.
I don't know.
You know, and when you talk about that post I put out there, people put Mike McDaniel in the top three to come. He's not. No, he's not coming back. He's not. There's no. And people put Flores in there. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Not anytime soon. You know, some of those guys, it's just not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. McDaniel's not suing the Dolphins. So, I mean, he's got a better chance of coming back than Brian Flores
does.
He's
got a much better chance. Much better chance. So, I feel you, man. I mean, I just hope that we find a way to get it right. I do wish Mike all the best, man, because honestly, he was really cool to me. Even though we didn't get a chance to talk to him as much as we'd like to, Big Seth.
Yeah.
You know, for other reasons, which, you know, we'll leave that for maybe another Wednesday rant. But at the same time, though, man, we do, like, he was great. I mean, from the day I met him at Tua's Luau, you know, and you were there for that too, man.
Well, he had your cards. He had your trading cards.
He was always going to call his mom to get him from the basement. You know, where he's probably spent a lot of time, you know. So, but it was cool though, man. And we do wish Mike the best. We are, as much as we like Mike, we love the Dolphins, man. And that's where we're at right here. We love the Dolphins, and we need to do what's right by this squad, man.
And that's what he said. His job was to do what was in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins, and I think that was what was in the best interest. Look, Brian Flores. I just was reading the chat. Dave Wanstead. Great guy. Just a great guy to sit around and kick it with, and just a good human being. But Dave was probably here at least 1 year too long. Yeah. You know, Dave was unable to get the best out of a team that he had. And then he was on our show and talked about how coaches have windows, and some windows are larger than others. But his window, and it was that game, and I forget the actual season. I don't know. Was that, would it have been 2002 or 2003? That Monday night game in Denver where Chris Chambers gets knocked out, Jay breaks his, you know, it was a huge win, but Jay breaks his thumb, Aronde gets hurt, and that was his window.
Big damage that day.
And I think for Mike McDaniel, it was 2023.
Yeah.
Then window was wide open, and that was the best team he was going to have, but the team was not ready to win big when it mattered most. And they had they had an opportunity to win the division. And then they, you know, that flipping Tennessee game, and things went downhill from there. So if that window shuts on you, man, then the team has to do what it has to do. And I think that's what happened. So looking at the time, because this thing is flying, I want to move into, I tried to tell y'all, and Svok, it's been a minute since you tried to tell us something. So we're going to let you kick it off.
I appreciate that. Because it has. And you know what? I could go a million different directions with this one because of that, but I'll try and keep it succinct.
Nice. Wow, but, that's a big word like mayonnaise right there, Savant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch me now. See, folks don't want to listen to me when I'm right, and I tend to be right a lot. Before the season even started, my Uncle David called me Cowboys fan, Dolphins enthusiast, and he asked me for my honest opinion, and I gave it to him. You know, no sugar, no Kool-Aid, just the truth. Now fast forward to after week one, the Dolphins got pushed around. My phone rings and he's saying, "Damn, nephew, you were right. You told me them Dolphins weren't cooking with nothing this year and nobody else was saying that." Now, it wasn't luck. Just happened to notice a pattern. And it's not the only one. Y'all remember? Remember when I told y'all the Darren Waller signing wasn't going to amount to nothing? Wasn't going to move the needle? Did it? He looked really great in the moment that he was on the field.
Right. Well, we didn't forget about him.
Oh, yeah, I know. But he struggled to stay on the field, as I kind of figured he would. Right. That's all right. But the one that really got me, the one time we were actually asked to do predictions this year was that Bengals game. And then I nailed it, of course. And we didn't even have a show that week, the next week. Convenient.
So wait, you're like trying to tell y'all that the Dolphins were going to get their ass kicked by the Bengals?
I guess.
You've been holding on to that one?
Hold on, though. I got one more thing.
Okay.
Because finally, if you guys have been listening to me, I've been pounding the table saying the Dolphins needed John Dorsey in the building. Now, they didn't hire him. But who did they hire? John Eric Sullivan, a guy who came up directly under John Dorsey, learned from him, worked with him, same lineage, same football DNA. So no, I haven't worked in that building before, but I know what I'm looking at. I'm not bragging, just saying. Next time I say watch this, you might want to watch it. That's what I tried to tell y'all.
Okay, Mix. Okay.
Look, Savak. you can get Savak's book too, How to Remain Humble When You've Never Been Wrong in Your Life. That's
right.
Now you're talking my language.
All right. Good stuff, Savak, with the I tried to tell y'all. OJ McDuffie, what did you try to tell us?
You know, Big Seth, I tried to tell y'all, well, maybe it was just me, you know, talking to my closest friends months ago that
I thought that was us.
Yeah, you are. Today. Mike Tomlin as our next head coach.
Yeah.
You know, if Mike McDaniel was let go, I was told it was a pipe dream. And, you know, I don't even smoke pipes. I don't smoke pipes. I might have an occasional vape on occasion just, you know, to sleep, but I don't smoke pipes. But, you know, but since the firing of Mike McDaniel, a lot of big names have come available. John Harbaugh from Baltimore, of course. Jonathan Gannon from Arizona, Pete Carroll from Las Vegas, you know, Kevin Stefanski from Cleveland, Raheem Morris from Atlanta. I mean, you can add Brian Daboll and Brian Callahan as well to that list. And of course, Mike McDaniel from our beloved Dolphins. I put out a Twitter question like we talked about earlier, what everybody thought should be our next head man. And overwhelmingly, you know, John Harbaugh was that guy. And that was the immediate response. You know, field goal made or field goal miss, I think, decided his future right there. And it determined that, you know, that Mike Tomlin would stay with Pittsburgh. And of course, John Harbaugh will be out with the Ravens. Now they're both available. They're both available. Both have a proven track record, conference championships, Super Bowl victories. Both appear to be tremendous leaders, respect by their players, you know. But why Mike Tomlin for me? You know, he's one more with less, Big Seth. That's why I like Mike Tomlin a lot. And I think we will be less next year. So I think we need to have that. Harbaugh's enjoyed an MVP quarterback for years now, yep. Right? And they haven't won shit. They haven't won anything. Tomlin's been in the playoffs 13 of 19 years with the Steelers. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger was a huge, you know, help for him. But also made it to the playoffs with the likes of Mr. Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, old-ass Russ Wilson. You know what I mean? And I get it. He's lost seven straight. I get that. But how much do we love to make the fucking playoffs 7 years in a row down here in Miami? I mean, consistently. I would love that, right? You know, he's won a Super Bowl, lost Super Bowl. You know, most of us haven't even seen a Super Bowl appearance in our Dolphin fandom, period. We haven't. You know, I haven't seen one since I've been a Dolphin, obviously, you know. So our recent quarterbacks have been less, and we, you know, we haven't done shit with them. Even if the quarterbacks still suck, Tomlin will get us to the tournament, and getting into the dance is all that matters. Just ask the University of Miami. And that's what I tried to tell y'all.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'm going to stay on that topic. I guess it is kind of the only topic to discuss right now with the Miami Dolphins. But I tried to tell y'all that the Dolphins needed to go all in on John Harbaugh at any cost, whatever it took. And then just in general, I was on the side of we need an experienced winner at the head coaching position. This team hasn't had it. I mean, you go all the way back, you know, between Cam Cameron, Joe Philbin, Nick Saban even, first-time NFL head coach, didn't do anything. Adam Gase, Brian Flores, Mike McDaniel. I might even be missing somebody. I understand where fans are coming from, and I was right there with them, where we need to get someone who's experienced, but I didn't want an immediate retread. The Robert Saleh thing doesn't excite me, although I understand it. Stefanski doesn't excite me, although I understand it. I like the Mike McCarthy idea, but I felt they needed to go all in for John Harbaugh. Right. Then I realized something. John Harbaugh is sitting around. This is that last hurrah, that opportunity to cash in. He's holding a lottery ticket, which he has earned. He has earned it with almost two decades of success. He has a Super Bowl title. Flex your resume. We all want to be respected for our accomplishments. But he is going to fleece an organization. He's going to get all the power, everything that he needs. And that's fine if it works. But if it doesn't, you end up right back where you were. I have totally changed my tune. I don't want any one of those guys that has the big resumes. I don't want them. Let somebody else go overpay for him. I don't even think Tom, although I love Mike Tomlin, I don't think he's going to be available. I not only want a first-year guy, I want to go with the one name that can bring glory back to the Miami Dolphins. And yes, I am writing the name because why the hell not? Everybody else is guessing what coordinator is going to become anyway because you haven't seen them as head coaches. We don't know what they're going to do when they got to wear the big boy pants. Give me Chris Shula. He grew up in South Florida. He loves South Florida. He grew up cheering for Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas. And damn it, I just said it. His name is Chris Shula, for crying out loud. Forget the curse. We know Mercury Morris buried the voodoo doll. Who can break the curse but another Shula? Get me Chris Shula. He's the grandfather, the grandson of the all-time winningest head coach in the history of the National Football League, not just the Miami Dolphins, the history of the National Football League, there is perfect blood flowing through his veins. His last name is fucking Shula, for crying out loud. How could we pass up on this? That's who we need to be. We need to have five people that send Aikman and Danny and John Eric Sullivan and if Brandon Shore has to be there too, whoever it is, send them to the friggin' every game the Rams play so that the moment that they're no longer playing football, there's one group. The way the college coaches used to recruit, right?
Right.
The kid walks out of the house. They walk into their mother's living room, and those coaches are sitting there. Write the six-page handwritten Joe Paterno letter that swayed O.J. McDuffie away from his hometown Ohio State Buckeyes. Do what you have to do to bring Shula back to the Miami Dolphins. It will breathe life into the franchise. It will breathe life into the community. You know what? You see the way all the guys from the U walk around on the sidelines, Michael Irvin losing his damn mind, and all those guys and the pride they have in the University of Miami. You don't think that Larry Zonka is going to have pride in the Miami Dolphins again when there's a Shula at the helm? You don't think Dan Marino, you don't think Paul Warfield, you don't think O.J. McDuffie is going to have pride in the Miami Dolphins because the leader is Shula? Imagine when you walk up to the head coach's office and it says Coach Shula on the fucking door. That's the answer. Get me Chris Shula. I tried to tell y'all.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm ready. I'm ready now, Big Seth. You better hope that happens now, Big Seth, because now I'm pumped up, bro.
He's going to be disappointed if it doesn't now.
Can he put a staff together? See Zonka? Come on, man. Of course he can.
Yeah, man. And you're right, man. I mean, I think, you know, that's if we're going to go with a first-year guy, that's my guy too. If we got a first year guy, that's my guy.
Why not?
And I think that he'll get the same luxury or same amount of time that Mike got. He'll be given an opportunity to right this ship, man. You know what I mean? And I think that would be awesome, man. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better Disney story than for fucking Chris Shula to come to Miami. And what are we? How many? What's it? You got to carry the one on this one, Savak. 50 something years later, plus take us to a Super Bowl and win one after, you know, the perfect season. I couldn't do that math that quick in my head. I'm pretty good with math too.
You're good.
Yeah. But that'd be fucking awesome, man. I mean, you're starting to change my mind here, Big Seth.
That's my role.
Starting to change my mind here, man. You know, and especially with you talk about the hostage situation with Harbaugh, maybe the impossibility with Tomlin. You got a young cat that, you know what I mean, that's from here, that's Shula, that, you know what, that might be my guy right there, man. And, you know, and I think that it would be an easy sell for Aikman, for Marino, for Shore, for Eric Sullivan, for Coach Mr. Sullivan, you know, for them to lay like, yo, this could be the situation here that we're talking about, man. You know what I mean? Bringing this guy here, it would definitely light a fire in some guys. And I saw somebody in the chat ask if Shula was pushed out. Absolutely, he was pushed out. Jimmy Johnson was plotting on him from the beginning, talking shit about how good his roster was and, you know, how he hadn't won anything. And then, you know, all of a sudden, Shula gets fired and they hire Jimmy's ass because Jimmy was that guy. But you're not going to do that to the next Shula that comes here as the next head man for the Miami Dolphins, Big Seth.
There it is.
Jimmy's old ass can't coach anyways, and he definitely wouldn't be coaching again.
No, I don't think so. But there's always somebody. There was a former head coach that was talking about how great the Miami Dolphins roster was this year. So there's always
– hold up, man. Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam, I see you. I see you.
Damn.
I see you, Sam. I see you, Sam. All right, keep it up.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, he's running away. You better run away. Don't let me find you in the alley, Sam.
You heard what he'll do.
Too good. Well, hey, this was a great one, man. Great attendance here today. Appreciate everybody's in the chat. We know we've got some strong opinions, which we love, absolutely love. And who knows, by the next time we do this chat, there could be a new head man.
We might have a head man, Big Seth. And then we'll see who was right and who was wrong.
That's right. Well, we'll see who was right in the selection.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying, because, I mean, we all got like three or four choices, so shit, we can't.
Well, I got one.
I'll take those odds.
I got one choice.
You got one?
Get me Shula. That's who I need.
All right.
I need Shula. Hey, Seth,
you'll be pounding your chest like Savak next week if we got Shula. You'll be like, Seth, your whole I tried to tell you is going to be like Chris Shula, and then you're going to sit back like this. Like,
That's right.
I tried to tell y'all.
You're damn right. Oh, if they hire him, you think I've been bragging about the draft from 2 years ago.
Right.
They'd definitely be doing that. Great stuff. Good run here. Appreciate it. We're also working on, you know what? I won't announce it yet till we get a commitment.
But, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get, there's a former Dolphin who had expressed some interest in coming on the show. So give me Shula or we riot. Now we're talking, Jordan. We got the Chiefs all rallied up. Let's go. That's what we're talking about. Chiefs, get us out of here, man.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolphins, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up.